Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Okay, this morning's reading is going to be taken from the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 to 20, and I think that's on page 951 of the Church Bible, so if you want a Bible, put your hand up. Now, this story is quite dramatic, as it's recorded in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, so it's either really worth listening to or a lesson to be learned from it. In Luke 8, you'll notice that we're told there are two men at the beginning of the story, but Mark seems to concentrate on the one more vocal man. So that's Mark 5, chapters 1 to 20. They went across the lake to the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him but said, "Go home to your people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Gabolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. As I've got older, as I said, I've become more political, and just watching the political arena and the press has definitely convinced me that this world is slowly going mad. It's strange, isn't it, how we've become such a polarized society. People are either at one end of the spectrum or at the other. Two people can hear the same scenario, hear the same speech, look at the same evidence, and yet come to two completely different conclusions. Now, I'd like you to listen to a clip that was doing the rounds on YouTube a while back. It's one voice saying one word, but you might hear two different words. You might hear Laurel, or you might hear Yanni. And we'll see who heard what after the clip has been played.
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
Okay. Hands up who heard Laurel. Okay, a few more on this side of the room, one or two at the front. How about Yanni? Oh, predominantly Yannis in this congregation. Interesting. It's the same word. It's the same word, and yet you hear two different things. Now, some of it's to do with your own personal biases. You expected me, you expected to hear something because of what I said. But some of it's to do with your ability to pick up certain frequencies in your ear. But interesting, it's one word and you heard two different things. And that's how it is with life as well, isn't it? We hear voices from external sources which may be affected by our own biases. Now, why is this important? Because what we hear affects what we believe. What we believe affects how we live. Now, the best modern-day example I can think of, and I'm not going to ask sides because we'll end up fighting in the church, is the question of Brexit. If you listen to the mainstream media, we've got to stay. If you listen to alternative media, we've got to go. And it's incredible because it's separating people. It's becoming very divisive. But it's important because what we hear affects what we believe, and that's going to affect how we transact our business and how we're going to live. It all depends which voices you believe. Now, the Bible understands this effect. In fact, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:18 that the message of the cross is either taken to be foolishness by one group of people, or it's the power of God to save for other people. Depending on which stance you take on that message of the cross, it depends whether you live and what happens to you after you die. To those who believe the message of the cross is foolishness, they will perish. To those who believe the message of the cross is the power of God to save, they will go on to eternal life. One message, two views. Which voice will you believe? Now, where do these voices come from? Well, in ancient cultures, the voices of authority were the elders in the community, family members. And as time went on, and we developed the printing press and newspapers, the voices were from politicians and advertisers. And then we invented that amazing box, and the voices came to us through music and documentaries. And then the box got bigger, and it was in the corner of our living room, and the television brought to us celebrities and soaps and documentaries, and the voices got louder. And then, since the advent of the internet, it's exploded, and the voices are absolutely everywhere. Now, we've got Twitter, we've got Facebook, we've got YouTube. The voices are screaming at us all the time. Who will we believe? Over the summer, we've been looking at the different types of encounters that people have had with Jesus, but today there's a slight difference in that this time it's a demonized man that encounters Jesus. And I thought it was interesting that you mentioned the demonization in that village. What does it mean to be demonized? Well, it's not the Hollywood thing of possession like we see on the television. Demonizing is to be coming under the control of an evil spirit, an evil influence, and the Greek word is diamonize there. Now, what do we know about this demonized man? Well, at some point in his life, we believe that this man must have done something to invite demonic activity into his life, as you mentioned, the witch doctors. Now, we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us in this passage what this man had done. But it does tell us in other passages, such as in Ephesians 4, that sometimes the things that we do give the devil a foothold in our lives. And that by our actions, we can sometimes present the opportunity for spiritual forces to enter in. And the Bible warns us about being involved in certain things because of this reason, the obvious example being the occult. Now, we don't know what this man did, but what we do know was that the door was opened for many demons to enter into him. We know that from the time of his demonization, this man was tortured mentally, physically. He was violent, often attacking people passing by through where he was staying. Sometimes he had to be chained, and there were no prisons there, and he had manacles put on his hands and feet, but he could break free because he was so strong supernaturally. He could often fight and take on several men. He roamed freely, but he chose to live among the graves, which was defiling in that part of the world. He chose to remain shamefully naked in a culture where modesty was respected. So he was strong, he was angry, he was violent, living among the dead, naked, isolated. But we also know from the passage that he cried and wailed at night. He was obviously hurting deeply, so much so that he cut himself with sharp stones, self-inflicted pain. Somehow he had let the demons in. He had given them a foothold. He believed their lies. And he lived the life that they had mapped out for him. He was full of self-loathing. He could go anywhere, but he chose to stay among the dead, continuing his cycle of degradation and defilement. His life had effectively been destroyed. His behavior was twisted. His relationships and his reputation were ruined, and his prospects were non-existent. Night and day, the only voices we imagine he heard were the demons in his mind, screaming lies and obscenities, probably. After all, the devil is the father of all lies. I'm guessing they would have said things like, "Yeah, he'll hate you for what you've done. You're useless. They'll never let you back in. There's no hope after what you did. You're not to be trusted among decent people. You can never go back." Such condemning voices. This man lived in accordance with what he heard and believed about himself from the demonic voices. But Jesus had other plans for this man. Economic and political power in those days was shared between the Jewish religious authorities and the Roman oppressing forces. Jesus had already been seen healing among the Jews in the synagogues. But on this occasion, he chose to sail to the Gerasenes, which was Gentile territory, probably more Greek culturally than Semitic. He traveled across the water to the region of Gerasenes, perhaps just to meet this demoniac. This was a place where years before there had been a devastating Roman attack, a military action by the general Vespasianus. He attacked the region, killing about 100 men, and he took the women and all the children. And it was to this place that Jesus now chose to come. We don't know if the demoniac had heard about this rabbi Jesus. After all, he was living in the Gentile territory. It's unlikely, and he was living on his own among the tombs. But what we do know is when he saw Jesus arrive, he ran to him. Now, maybe he wanted to attack him, to mug him, to steal from him. We don't know. But we suddenly find out that he heard the voice of Jesus speaking to him and asking him his name. But he didn't even get a chance to answer because the demons inside replied for him. And they told Jesus their collective name. He was called Legion. A word which only had one meaning in this area. It meant a division of Roman soldiers. The largest division, anything between 3,000 and 6,000 soldiers. This is how the demoniac introduced himself to Jesus. There must have been such confusion, though, for that demoniac. No longer could he just hear those voices in his head. All of a sudden, he could hear them begging Jesus. They were begging not to be sent away to the abyss, the place which they knew the Bible taught was reserved for the devil and his demons. Legion knew who Jesus was. Legion knew he was the Son of God. Legion knew what the Bible said about the future for the devil and all the demons. But now Jesus was telling the demons to leave the body that they were in. They needed a physical home, and the man could hear them pleading to be sent into the pigs. And there were about 2,000 of them nearby, maybe one for each demon. They knew they were under the total control of Jesus. They could only do what he permitted them to do. And suddenly the pigs were demonized with all of these demons from within the man. And they ran in a frenzy over the hill, over the edge, and into the lake to their death. And suddenly, silence. No more voices. Only Jesus standing before this man. Jesus, the only one with the power to stop all voices. The next thing we know, obviously some time must have passed, because this man was at the feet of Jesus. For the first time in probably years, he was dressed and he was clean and washed, and his mind was free from all those voices. Instead, we presume that in between he had heard the voice of Jesus, not fake news, but good news, the Evangelio. He must have heard words of peace, affirmation, love, forgiveness. It must have been like liquid gold for him. He wanted to follow Jesus from then on, forever. He was the first person, after all, to show him pity and love in how long? But instead, Jesus told him to go home. Home. He had a home. And Jesus knew he had a home. Jesus instructed him to go and tell of what God had done for him. And so he obediently returned to a very large area called Decapolis, 10 cities, probably to become the first evangelist in Gentile territory. Now I imagine when he got there, if people recognized him because he was cleaned up now, they would have been scared of him. After all, he'd probably beaten a few of them up in previous years. They wouldn't have been pleased with him because he had cost them a small fortune with all the pigs that had gone over the edge. But somewhere back in that community, he may have had a wife that loved him. He may have had children that had grown up now. He may have had a mum or a dad that remembered their boy before he'd been demonized. This encounter with Jesus not only gave this man hope for a future, but it gave his entire family now hope for the future. What an amazing encounter, what a transformation. From degradation and lostness to restoration, wholeness and sanity. Now, when I was researching this whole area of self-harm in the ancient cultures, I found that cutting in young men, I mean, it happens in women as well, but I'll stick to men for the sake of this story, is still really common. In fact, it's on the increase. And according to Psychology Today, in an article back in 2016, it said that people cut themselves because they feel that by doing so, they release the emotional pain that they're suffering. And this terrible sadness gets even worse. Apparently, the number one cause of death in the UK, in our men, between the ages of 24 to 49, is suicide. About 84 men a week, according to Samaritans, kill themselves, a number three times higher than in women. We often forget, don't we, the men, because you're meant to be the strong one, stiff upper lip and all that. But we know that men don't go to the doctor as much as women. And we know that men don't have the close circle of friends to chat about when they have a need, not in the same way as women do. They hold their pain in more and more as the pain builds up. Now, this area is very complex. And please hear me, I am not saying that all signs of depression and cutting at all of these areas are demonization. They're not. But what I am saying is that the voices speaking into all of our lives, from our culture, from the media, from the enemy, are real. And they speak to all of us. What the voices say determines how we feel and what we believe and how we live. We've created a society with so much wealth and technology, and yet we've created a society which causes our men so much pain that sometimes they feel the only way out is through suicide. And you don't have to be demonized to hear these awful voices, do you? The voices speak through the drugs, the voices speak through the drink, the voices speak through the gambling. To all of us, they scream their negative messages. However, the good news is that whether the voices are demonic or man-made, there is one place we can all go to for help. We all need to hear the voice of Jesus. Yes, there is a place for medical intervention when these problems are clinically based, but we could all do with a dose of listening to the truth of what God says about us and to us. As I said, I've been involved in running Alpha courses for years, and I love them because you get to see people encountering Jesus, sometimes slowly, sometimes, you know, really quickly. But I remember one story many years ago that really made an impression on me, because this man came in as a self-confessed alcoholic, and he told us his story about how he had hit rock bottom buying the cheapest drink, but it had slowly started to affect his work, and then his family life, and then his health. And one day in desperation, he prayed out loud to God and said, "Please speak to me, please help me," because he realized what was happening in his life. He opened up a Bible that he had, and he opened it up apparently to a passage in Proverbs, and I'm guessing it's this one where it says, "Do not look at wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a serpent and it stings like an adder." He knew God had spoken to him. He knew that was the voice of God. And he started on his journey of healing, and he did become a Christian. So, how about you? Which voices do you listen to? Have you heard that God loved you so much that he gave his only son, so that if you believed in him, you wouldn't perish but would have everlasting life? And if you did, what did you do with that message? Have you heard that by becoming a child of God, you can live an abundant life with purpose? And if you did, what did you do with that message? Jesus came to set that man free, and until that encounter, he was mentally, spiritually crippled. His self-harming was influenced by the strongholds of lies and deception, but Jesus changed all of that with the words from his mouth. He set him free. Listen to God's voice from the Bible about your true identity, not the words of our culture. There's a lot in our culture today, isn't there? Identity politics is a thing now. But you know, the one that designed us knows us best. Listen to what he says about you, not your professors, not the politicians, not the media. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans to be active in not being conformed to the image of this world, not listening to the voices of our culture and the enemy, but rather to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, to be renewed with the truth of God's voice from his word. Be discerning about the voices you listen to in this age full of voices, especially now that we know that there are voices that seek to control what you hear. Now, I've said this, I think the past three times I've preached here, I've always come to the same conclusion that there are only ever two choices. It's the wheat and the chaff, the sheep and the goats, the light and the dark, right, wrong. Always the same two. And we see it again in this story. There are two voices in this story. The life-giving words of Jesus or the destructive words of the enemy. Who will you believe? The Bible tells us that God can turn our ashes to beauty. He's the only real hope for this world. Our hope isn't found in money and power, in education and qualifications, or even in politics. God has the only true transforming power. An encounter with Jesus can transform an individual and ultimately the world. Now, maybe over the years, you have been listening to wrong voices. Maybe you've heard negative, abusive, lying voices speaking over you. Maybe you've been in a relationship with someone that said horrible, negative things about you, lies, screaming lies into your life. Maybe you had a cruel family member that spoke lies over you year after year after year, bosses, colleagues. Maybe these voices spoke to your ears, and then they found the words to your heart, placed to your heart, and then they lodged there and stayed there. If so, if that's you, I would challenge you to come forward when we're finished here shortly, so that the prayer team can pray for you, so that you can encounter the gentle, loving voice of Jesus, because he wants to set you free from those voices, those words that made a home in your heart. As the band comes up, if they could please, please come forward for prayer so that someone can pray for you. And in the meantime, I'd like to close in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, please free us from all the negative lies that have been spoken into our minds and which found a place in our hearts over the years. We want to hear your voice from now on. Help us to hear your voice through your word, and help us to know the truth that we are loved by you and that we are precious to you.